I will start by asking you a question, a theoretical question.
Imagine you got your Toulouse, your paycheck, okay? And before you opened it, you decided to offer a prayer to God and said, please God, let this paycheck be more than my usual paycheck.
Why would you expect it to be such?
Let the paycheck be as much as it possibly can be. And then you opened it. What would you say about that prayer? What?
No,
well, first of all, sorry, so Daniela is exactly right. With Israeli paychecks, right? With the Israeli paychecks.
You
don't
know what you're getting.
You have no idea. We're like from month to month?
No, you usually do.
Yes,
but a couple
absolutely.
Times a year, they throw in some extra.
Or take
money.
Off.
No, they only took off because they had a problem.
Whatever. But I think it's not like that. Like, I remember in America, my paycheck was always the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? You work out in advance and they pay you accordingly.
It was always
your salary is by year and it's divided by 12.
It's always the same.
Paycheck.
And here it's like a little more, a little bit less. But what would you say about that prayer? Before you want to daven, before you open the paycheck, that it should be increased. What would you say about that?
Well, it's already written, but isn't
like
it
people
a foregone conclusion?
Oh.
They should have done it before they made the check.
What's that?
They should have done it the prayer
before they made the check. Okay, like davening for a baby.
That's in its fourth month.
What about if it's before its fourth month?
So, don't they say you can daven in the first
night? It could change. Right. Okay, so I specifically mentioned it because of that. Okay, why? This is a halakha. An actual halakha in Shulchan Aruch.
We had this discussion recently about davening for the because we spoke about with Shemitah, if it's a nes or a bracha, if there's extra tefuah in the sixth year.
But this is you're sitting in front of your tefuah. This is before. That's before. This is halakha Shulchan Aruch Siman Reish Lamed Seif Bet Hanichnas Lamodet Garno. If you're entering your goren, your storehouse of wheat. Or whatever, grain, to measure it. Omer, you say the following bracha. Yi ratzon mifanecha Hashem Elokai, let it be the will of God, shetishlach bracha b'kri hazeh, that you should send a bracha in this storehouse, in this warehouse. I.e., before you're standing right there, you see the pile right in front of you, and now you're going to measure it. Before you measure it,
so I hope it's more than I think.
You can make you can pray to God that it should be a bountiful kri. It should be more. It should be blessed, whatever that means. Okay, which raises a question.
It's done already.
Whatever's there is there. Whatever's not there is not there.
You haven't counted it yet.
What?
You don't know exactly how much.
But whatever it is, it is. Right. So what's the point of making the bracha? Very interesting. Hitchil amod. If you start measuring, Omer Baruch Hasholech Bracha B'kri Hazeh. Then it's more of a Baruch, thanking God who gave you the bracha. Madad va'achar kach beirach, but if you measured first and then made the bracha, harezet tefilat shav. That's a wasteful prayer. Why? She'en abracha mitzuya ela bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin. Bracha is sharui. Bracha only dwells on things that are hidden from the eye. Meaning, before I decide, before I measure exactly how much grain I have, I can dive into God that it should be more.
That's if I can't see it, it's not there.
If you don't know exactly how much it is,
if you don't know how much it is, it could be more than
maybe
you
it'll
think.
Be more when you measure
maybe
it.
It'll be more.
But it's already more.
No, that's the point. It's
but
not.
There's like magic going to happen.
Right, you get 10 cups out of it, what would have been 8 cups.
Correct. Correct. How is it not?
Like
before
you. Miracle Hanukkah.
Before you,
but that's
it didn't say
like
it didn't say nes. It did not. Meaning you have to. I read you both sides of halacha. Very important because the first part is a good bracha, is a good tefillah, and the second one after you already measured it is a tefillah shav. Meaning you're not. I'm making a bracha that it should be. I should measure it better. What am I meaning? Whatever it is, it is. The answer is for whatever reason, however it is, Chazal believe. That whatever it is not. It's not whatever it is, it is. Until you could, you know what I'm saying? How much gas do you have left in your tank? Please,
I get it.
Please let me make it to the gas station.
Last year, more dough for the stakan, you got your stakan. It's a So if you don't know,
bracha. Right. It says bracha. It's whatever. That's the irony. I mean, it's different than what you would think. It's sitting in front of you. The pile sitting in front of you, but it could be more than you think. Your paycheck.
But with a check, someone else knows already.
Your it's paycheck. You think it's written. Could
so
be more than you think.
Before you open your paycheck, you actually have to change the numbers.
It could happen.
What?
That is so supernatural.
What do you do with this?
Clearly not an American
economy.
What?
Only these kind of
missing happen. Only these kind of missing happen.
I have to tell you, I've been waiting for my tax refund from the United States, literally for months and months and months and months. I'm waiting, and they haven't come. And you call them, and they're like, "No, we can't talk to you. Nothing." I finally decided I've been late and I haven't given tzedakah, and I wrote a couple of checks.
Right.
And let you know, yesterday the checks came. You know what I'm saying? So like, how do you stop? What are you making a face? So you should make a face in the Shulchan Aruch too.
I did.
You think that?
Same thing.
What?
My husband says the same thing.
Can I see it?
Not. Look at it. Read it. It's what he says.
That's not exactly the same thing.
No, that's not the same. 100%. What?
That's different.
Yes. Okay. Right.
I don't know that you. I would read it totally differently.
Yes, here we go.
I would read it that before you
measure.
Before you measure, you say one bracha. It's just technically what's, which brachot do you
which
say?
Which bracha do you say? What's the first bracha?
Be God's will. Shetishlach bracha.
Why are you asking? I'm not asking that I should be able to use it. I'm asking there should be more. That's what
no,
I'm asking.
No, I don't think so. I think that because let's say you have a certain amount of grain.
Yes.
Okay? Now, and then you go and you count that grain. And then that's not the end of the process. There's still further
what would be the difference? What would be the difference about how
in order to finish the production of the grain, yeah. And so I think that's what you're saying, that the rest of the process, what's a kri?
Can somebody, kri is when you take the pile and you smooth it over. It's the finished pile that you're done with when you gather the grain. I can prove to you that you're wrong. Why? Because by that same token, why wouldn't I be able to make that same bracha at the end after I already counted it? It's got a lot of more process to do. So it's not about the process, it's about the amount. This is based on the Gemara in Baba Metzia, which I'm going to read for you now. Okay? The Gemara says, we're talking about holding on to money. Very interesting question. What should you do with your money? V'am Rabbi Yitzchak le'olam yashlish adam et ma'otav. Shlish bakarka, shlish bakpakmatia, shlish tachad yado. You should always divide your money into three. A third of it you hold on to, a third you bury, i.e. put into savings. V'shlish bakpakmatia.
Property.
Investment. Okay, third invest, third stick in savings. It's interesting. And the third you have to have keep liquid, cash. What?
It's strange.
Strange. Right, it's strange. V'am Rabbi Yitzchak.
It's supernatural, it feels.
Hello, what's wrong with that? Why does that bother you?
I'm commenting on the Shulchan Aruch.
I know, what's wrong with that?
Have an issue with supernatural.
What's supernatural? They have the different davenings. So have...
One second, that's supernatural, and the fact that you get a job is not a shkacha prati.
So what,
I need to believe that there's, you know.
You believe in hashgacha, but you don't believe in
that.
In overt hashgacha?
No, it's intervention.
So what's the difference between someone getting a diagnosis and you davening that they should have a report?
No, because one has science involved in it.
I'm totally with Donna on this. Totally.
Science is just the equals. What I know today, I can now explain.
Let me ask you a question. How about if I say it to you this way? I have my paycheck in front of me. I didn't open it. And I'm going to pray that it should be more.
You're saying that if you don't pray, it's going to be less?
I'm saying that my prayer could... Akash Baruch Hu is controlling time. So right, it's not going to change before my eyes that if I could have a sensor and read it with... But Akash Baruch Hu could go back and give me a bracha and make it more than it otherwise would have been. Could he not?
Maybe the bracha is for no? person, not for...
Again, that's not what it says. It's clearly not what it's talking about. They're reading in the show. This is like the reason I brought it to you. This is halacha psuka. This is Shulchan Aruch.
It doesn't make sense.
This is hilchot emuna.
Why not?
Why? That doesn't make any sense at all.
To me.
It makes sense to you because what you're thinking is it should last as long as I need it to last. Right. Not that I'm asking for there to be more.
No.
Right. Right. That, so that's why it makes sense to you.
But it is the same thing.
But that's not. But that's not what you're.
So I do not understand what's supernatural about the food or the money.
No, nothing about that. It was about the Shulchan Aruch.
But I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. So now says the Gemara: Ein habracha shmutzuya lebedavar hasamui min ha'ayin. Bracha is sharui. Bracha dwells on, dominates over something that's hidden from the eye. This is exactly from it says, Shne'emar, Yitzav Hashem itcha et habracha. God should command with you the bracha be'asamecha. Asamecha is from your asimon, in your money. But they make a play on words. Be'asamecha, but something that's hidden. Something that's samoy. Tana de be'arav Yishmael. Yishmael says, Ein habracha b'tziyal b'davar she'ein ha'ayin sholetet bo. The eye only, the bracha is sharuya only for something that the eye cannot see. Shneamar yitzavcha Hashem itcha tabracha be'asa mecha. And then the next thing the Gemara says is Tana Rabbanan haolech la'amudet grono. This is the Gemara that the Shulchan Aruch quoted. La'amud, if you went to measure your goren, your omer, you should say yi ratzam ufanecha shejilach bracha b'maaseh yadenu, etc., etc., etc. That's the halacha. It's quoted exactly from the Gemara. Bracha falls on things that are hidden, i.e., unmeasured. You want there to be money in your bank account? You want to cover the chodesh? You know what you have to do? No.
Ignore it.
That's exactly right. Don't look.
I'm very good at that.
I know. Me too. Don't look. Don't look.
That is the message from our show. Yeah. Don't look.
I have to tell you.
In
America, I was. Irina will tell you. I was like, we had this program for the Microsoft money
exactly,
and I budgeted, and we knew exactly where every penny went. Exactly.
Really?
I was really like,
wow. I wrote down what cash I spent.
Just to see, like, to budget, to know where it goes, because cash goes like
water.
Like water, right. And we got here, it was like all out the window. I don't even bother. Like, I don't even look. You know what I'm saying? What? No, that's not what it's saying. It's not what he's saying. It's not that you don't want to know. It's saying that if you want to know exactly, then you are precluding the possibility of bracha. Because as soon as you know...
trust.
What?
He's saying trust. Trust a little.
Well, you could.
I don't think.
And ask.
For sure, trust. But I don't think it's about trust. Trust is one thing. But it's not that I just want trust. I want bracha. So if you want. What?
So, like, if you're picky about everything, you have something to be like, okay, this is the pennies you get, and that's it.
Correct.
That's it.
Correct. And if you're not picky, then whatever.
I'm not picky, but I might spend it.
It's a very hard thing to, like, wrap your head around because it's. Yeah, it's not natural.
I mean,
it's supernatural.
You take a big risk, though. You can't wake up one morning and realize you're in huge.
You have to be responsible.
Yeah, within reason. I would agree, right? Within reason. Like, you get a call from the bank. We get a call from the bank. You're 30,000 shekel in debt. You know.
That's crazy.
What do you mean, the bracha? Hold on a second, I have to tap in. The lady on the line.
I do the opposite of the tour. When I see my trolley in the supermarket complete as well, I'm always going up to try and make it less of a till.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, that's exactly proper. Before it's measured. That the Shulchan Aruch says is a totally appropriate bracha.
Really?
Sure. It's not a done deal.
That could happen.
That happened to me at
Osher.
Oh, sure, it
works. Yesterday, 90 euro for a kilo of tomatoes. That was too loud. And then
they okay. Of course, you'll pay triple for cereal, but that's another issue.
Why are you eating cereal? It's not healthy.
Thank you. Okay. I bring this all up because the topic, the subject of Parshat Bamidbar is counting. If we believe truly that this notion of bracha is shorah b'davar hasamui min ha'ayin, why are we counting the Bnei Yisrael all the time? Shouldn't the Jewish people not be counted?
This is, and I mean, we can go through the psukim, actually. We'll go through a couple of psukim, but it's a very strong question.
Jewish people should not be counted.
In fact, that is entirely one of the reasons that the Jewish people are not counted. We're forbidden from counting the Jewish people. So why then did the Ribbono Shel Olam? Yeah, you don't count. What do we say when we count? What?
Why?
Something
this
similar to this.
Bracha?
No, there's an Isur, no, you don't have to count. Yeah, we're going to get to that too. Okay? This idea of having the idea of having something not measured, not known. As opposed to, it's very interesting today, we live in a very quantifiable time, right? Everybody knows, you could tell you how much money you have in the bank, how much your salary is per month. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, not if you're an Atzmai.
What? Uh-huh. Not if you're an Atzmai? Because you're sending bills out, you're coming in,
no,
whatever.
No, you don't know what you're going to make that month.
You work, yeah, you today have more work, less money.
Right.
It's a lot of emunah.
A lot of emunah.
Atzmai, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, go on. So,
and pay your
tzedakah
on time.
So that's one thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about this idea of counting. If something is supposed to be hidden, then why is it that the Jewish people are counted? And this is something that the Rishonim struggle with, and we're going to learn, specifically, we're going to look at the Ramban, what the Ramban has to say on this topic. And then I'm going to do something that Nechama brings up on this idea. There's the idea of this notion of, like you said, that faith, nes, versus Hishtadlut. It's very good that you brought it up, Daniela. There's a dichotomy, there's a contrast. And life is all about it, as we've discussed so many times, life is all about trying to find this balance between different contrasts. Trying to find, you know, so when do you count, when don't you count, when is it appropriate to count, when it's not appropriate to count, why should you count at all? And we're going to see in the count, there's another contrast that's relevant to our daily life as well. So, just open the beginning of the Chumash, Bamidbar. Very beginning, by the Bear Shem Hashem beBidbar Sinai beOhel Moed beEchad leChodesh Hasheni beShana Hasheni leTzeitam beEretz Mitzrayim leMor. Okay, God, were there in Midbar Sinai in the first day of the second month. Okay, it's the first of Iyar, the second year. They're ready to go. Now God says, Se'u et Rosh Kol Adat b'nei Yisrael leMishpachotam leBeit Avotam. Se'u. Lift up the heads of all of Adav Bnei Israel, according to their families, according to their households. B'mispar shemot, the number of names, kol zachar legul gilotam. Every male, legul gilotam.
To his skull.
Gulgolet, to his skull. What do you have? Tracy, what do you have in English? Every male, according to his, the end of Pasuk Bet.
According to their head count.
According to their head count. Okay? Very good. Says, so now we, you know, it sounds reasonable. Let's go back to Rashi and Pasuk Aleph, because Rashi says, Rashi wonders the exact same question that we wondered. Rashi wonders simply, why is God counting the Jewish people? There's a lot of counting going on. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Vayidaber b'midbar Sinai, see the first Rashi? Mitoch chibatan lefanav, mune otam kol sha'a. Because he loves them so much, he counts them all the time. Kol sha'a, every minute. Kishiyatsu mi mitzayim mina'am. When they went out of Egypt, he counted them. Kishnaflu be'egel mina'am. When they fell at the egel, he counted them. Leidam minyana notarim. Kishabal hashrot shchinato aleihem betocham mina'am. When he came to bishoresh shchina, he counts them. Be'echad ve'nisan hukama mishkan. U'be'echad ve'biyar mina'am. The first of Nisan, the Mishkan was erected. And now, a month later, the first of Iyar, he counted them. Okay, could somebody please tell me, according to Rashi, why are they being counted?
Then they said we know how much money's in our bank account.
Why?
Because it's every one is important to you. So you want to make sure, because you love, it says mitochi batan, because he loves them so much.
Okay.
So he counts them all the time.
Okay, all the time. Kol sha'a. All the time.
Mm-hmm. Three times.
Three times. Right. All together. All the time. So why does he, according to Rashi, why are we counting?
Because he loves them.
Contradicts.
What are you waiting for?
Does it make sense to you? Does anybody understand what Rashi's saying?
Yes, it makes 100% sense. Didn't you ever
three times?
One minute. Which part do you have a problem with this? Three times.
The language of Kol Sha'a bothers me.
Yeah, I have my children and I count them all the time to make sure that they're in the car or in the bed or again, not one of them's not wandered across the road. That's all the time, but it's a constant need to be making sure they're all there.
Uh-huh.
If he's just doing it three times at significant point. That's not.
Let me ask you a different question. Why does God need to count them at all? Meaning, God intuitively knows exactly how many of us there are. Okay.
But he still knows.
He still knows. And God, the Ribbono Shel Olam has an automatic, okay. Mm-hmm. But does that make sense then? Then what would be the purpose of counting us?
The defining moments in time at which we have to count, what are those moments of what happened that's relevant for us to have a number connected to?
But I'm saying, is it the number necessarily? If the idea is mitoch chibatan, again, though, if I'm doing it because I love it, so when I count my money, it's because every money.
It's not because he loves it; it's because they are dear to him. So that fits in very well with the commanding them to count.
Oh, meaning what? Meaning so? That what's the purpose of the count? Oh, right. The count is not for God to know. The count, according to the way I understand Rashi, is for us to know that God loves us. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be counted because he wants us to know that we're important, that every single one's important. I'm sure that's why you count your kids. One, two, three. I love each and every one of you. No, that's not that. What? It does actually give them a sense of importance to know that they count, to be counted, that you're part of the miskeret.
It's not a coincidence to say that count and count is the same, has the same meaning, I think, to say that you count for something.
Yes.
And to say I count you.
Correct.
That it's connected.
Okay. Absolutely correct. That's
also that you're included.
Okay.
You are part of.
So it's interesting. So Rashi is saying, why is he now, according to Rashi, why is God counting the Jewish people now? Kishabal hashrot shechina aleihem mina'am. He just built the Mishkan, and it's now time for hashrat shechina. So God says, I'm counting you, and this is a different count than when he counted them for the first time. Okay, one second. Exodus from Egypt, number one. I love you all. After Chet Ha'egel,
I still
love you. Shahashraat Shechina, I love you even more. I love you so much that I want to be with you. A different perspective on the count. Okay, it's not about knowing the numbers. There's only one problem. It's a beautiful idea. There's only one problem with Rashi's pshat, with Rashi's perush. The problem that I have with Rashi's perush is, then why does the Torah go through all the numbers? It goes through in very, very, very painstaking detail.
No, I disagree with you.
Sure it does.
I think,
this
yes,
tribe
it
and that tribe.
The details, but it enforces Rashi's interpretation. Because if Rashi's saying the whole point is for us to know how much we're loved by Hashem,
yeah,
then we are the ones who need to know the exact numbers.
Why? Why do we need to know the exact numbers? God, I don't need to know what the number is. I need to know that God counted me.
No.
Sure.
I don't know. I think
but
it makes it more important.
What do you mean? They have the count and whatever.
By God counting you and naming you, therefore, it's a memory of the count.
Yeah.
Correct, but not to know the number. Agreed.
It's not only the foreign count, and it's not only the people who came out of Egypt or the people who carried the Mishkan, right? It's every single person.
Every person counts.
Even this person, and even that person, and even that
right.
person.
Right. Correct. Agreed. Okay? But fine? Okay. Look at if you have Kliyakar, look at Kliyakar for a second. The bottom of the second side, Gimel. So he says, what does it have to do with Hashrat Shechina? I'm just going to share with you what he says. It's a little interesting. You guys have it, Kliyakar? I don't think so. V'nira li liten tam l'minyan zeh bizman Hashrat Shechina. So he says, what does that have to do with Hashrat Shechina? Why do you need to count? He says, look, the Fisha Amru Razal, says the Chazal, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashrat Shechinata al Yisrael bepachot b'chafpet elef. There is no Hashrat Shechina less than 22,000 people. You want to have Hashrat Shechina, you need 22,000 for some reason. Okay? And he says, if you look in the count, okay, how many Hashrat, how many Machanot were there? Okay, there were, one second, I just look at it, because it says, Ubenucho Yomar Shuv Hashem Rivavot Alfei Yisrael. Rivavot Alfei. How much the minimum of Rivavot? Rivavah is 10,000. Rivavot is?
20.
Alfei. 2,000. So Rivavot Alfei, the minimum of Hashem Shechina is 22,000. He also says, somehow, based on the Kabbalah, there were 28 of them. There was 28 of these little camps, 28 sub-camps. What's 28 times 22? One second. 600 and something.
Now you look it up. Anyway, okay, but he comes into this whole Kabbalistic idea to explain why you have to have the Hashrat HaShchinah of 28 times 22. Not really what motivates us, what we're looking for. Turn to Ramban at the end of the parak. Ramban on Pasuk Mem Hei. Okay, Ramban talks about this extensively. Pasuk Mem Hei. So he says, yes, it's the exact same question. Says the Ramban. By the way, what's the pshat reason? Why do they need to count? The simple reason. We're totally ignoring. Why is that? It's an army. It's a military count. They're now turning into a camp. This, I think, we definitely discussed before. In order to start an army, you have to know how many soldiers you have. Is that true?
But last week...
What?
Because my kids, we were discussing it, that there's a pasuk where the maths don't work. Like, it says... If you send 100 soldiers out, you can conquer 1,000. But then
excellent.
If you send 2,000, you can conquer 100,000.
Excellent. What is this connected to? It's connected to the way we started the parasha. Excellent. It's exactly that. In the Baruch Haim Bechuktai, it says exactly that. V'radfu mikem chamisha mea, u'me'a mikem rivava yirdofu. Right? And this we know to be true. Right? If you have the bracha of Hashem, if you have Hashra'at Shekhinah, it's not a numbers game. We don't believe in the numbers game. They have 30,000, so we need to have 30,000. That's a very teva way of looking at things. It's our numbers versus their numbers. Our 30,000, their 30,000, we'll smash each other to smithereens. Everybody's dead, and if we have 32,000, then we'll win. That is not the Jewish way we fight. We fight with the hands of God. We have to fight, but we fight with Yad Hashem. And if Yad Hashem is there, the bracha b'chukotai is exactly that. Okay? 5 can beat 100, 100 can beat 10,000. And the Navi bears that out, and today we know exactly that it's true. Not so hard for 100 to beat 10,000, it all depends on how they're fighting, and you know who has the upper hand, and who has the spiritual domination, etc., etc. So this idea of counting, the idea of saying that we need to count in order to create a military, it makes sense on an intuitive level. But if we think a bit deeper, it should be very troubling to us. We don't fight that way. How do we fight? Hands up, we win. Hands down, we lose. Hands up, hands down. Right? That's how we fight. That's what we believe
if
in.
If you combine this together with Rashi, then you can say, changed my mind on that one. But what about for the Nachla, for dividing them up for an hour?
Oh, that's another reason, right? Then you would need to know exactly how many and how big the Nachla would be. That's true, for purposes of inheritance. But that's not what we talk about. Most of what I should say is to create an army. It's very interesting, because it makes sense, but then on a deeper level, on a faith level, it's troubling to us. So look at Ramban on Mem Hei. Okay? So Ramban is troubled by this. He says, Hutzracha katub lahagid. So right now, Ramban on Pasuk Mem Hei. On verse 45. Page Tetvav. Turn to page Tetvav here. Keep going. Back. Right there, Ramban right there. Hutzracha katub lahagid bispar haklal lachar shiyigid apratim. It tells you all the sub numbers. And then it adds them all up in the end just to make sure that the math was correct. Moshe and Aaron were commanded to know the count of the entire nation. And they should also know how much each tribe was. That's the way kings count the nations. I don't get it. I don't understand why with this commandment was there. Lama tziva b'hakadosh baruch hu. Yes, they have to be in their tribes for the degel. Each one represented a certain flag. You know what I'm saying? They were divided according to direction. Degel, Machane, Yehuda. You know what I'm saying? Each one, north, south, east, and west. That's true. Aval yidiyata mispar, lo yadati lamat tziva sheyadu oto. He says, the name, the number, exactly how much each one was given, I don't know exactly why. Ulai, maybe. So it's interesting, by the way. What's Ramban's final answer? Why were they commanded to count? What's his final answer? What's he going to tell you? Before we even say anything, before we see his reasons. The answer he gives is, I don't really know. I can throw things out. But to give you a definitive answer, he's telling you already, I'm not so happy with the answers. Ulai, maybe. Hodiyam chasdo aleihem. To show the chesed of God. The idea is it's a show of contrast. Right? Meaning,
We all know 200 years ago we were just 70 people. We were nothing. And now look how many you are. Look how great the bracha is. We sort of get this idea every time the State of Israel releases its census before, you know, before Yom HaAtzmaut. It's like, you know, look how amazing the growth of the country is, year in and year out. Look at the credible bracha. Maybe. That's one. Okay? V'achrei kol devar devet u'magefa yimanim. After every plague, he'll count them. L'hodiyaku mashgi l'goyim yimchatz v'yadav terafena. To show to the non-Jews that he still cares about us. Right? That we're still important to us. V'zeu she'amru rabutenu. Out of great love. So meaning, what's the love of being counted? Look how much I have. Look how many Jews I got. I love them all. What an incredible nation. That's number one. Number two, va'od. Ki abal lifnei av hanavi'im ve'achib kadosh Hashem v'hu noda alehem bishmo yelo bedavar hazeh zechut v'chayim. Says, each person came in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and they said exactly his name. And think about it, that Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't that they submitted the numbers. It wasn't that each one was counted based on, Yabin Yamin, how many you got? Oh, we counted. No. Moshe Rabbeinu went to each Shevet, and in each Shevet went to each household, came to each neighborhood. Can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu knocking on our door and saying, oh, Spaltis, how many you got over 20? One. Okay. Nice to meet you. Go on. Ki hu besod ha'am u'bichta b'nei Yisrael. Bezchut haRabim b'misparam, okay, it's a measure of the Rabim. Bechein the kulam zchut b'mispar sheyimnu lifnei Moshe ve'Aaron, okay, it's the number of Moshe and Aaron. Ki yasimu aleihem einam l'tova. They'll give them. They'll place their eyes upon them for the good. Yivakshu aleihem rachamim. They should bless them. They would ask Hashem for to give them rachamim. Hashem Elokei Avotechem Yosef Alechem Elef Pa'amim V'lo Yam'it Misparchem. Okay? So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu shows up at your door, he knocks, and he looks at you and he says, how many? And he says, and obviously, I'm standing there and I greet Moshe and I open up the door. Who's standing behind me? The family and the children. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He looks and he says, oh, Eze Mishpacha Mevorachat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yivarech Etchem, V'yitem Lechem Shevach, V'nachat Ruach, V'bracha, B'chol Ma'aseh Yadeichem, V'yeladim Yigdalu. And like, think about the experience, that experience of not the Rav HaYishuv, not the Rav Ir, not the Rav HaRashi, Moshe Rabbeinu coming to your house and giving you that bracha. So that's a chavaya that will stay with you forever. That's this thing. That gives the idea, I think that you mentioned that each person is important. It's almost a paradox in a sense, and this is one of the dichotomies that Nechama Leibowitz mentions. I think I wrote it down here. Okay, are you an individual? What's important? The individual input's important, or is the public important? Is the number important? And normally, the strength of a country. How big? You know, what people ask you? What do they ask you? Oh, I heard about Yad Binyamin. What's the first thing they ask you?
How many families
are there? Why are they asking you that?
What's it?
Why? Right. Well, if we got 30 families, then we're a little dicky issue. So, but if we say there's 700 families, you know, that's already something. Really?
Really? Yeah.
Oh, 700 is legal? I thought it was 700 plus include the illegal ones. No?
How would they know?
They know. What, it's so hard to know? Whatever, don't get me started. Okay. Right, so, but there's a problem with that, because then all you are is a cog in the wheel. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, what's your role? What's the importance of the Spalter family? Well, they're one of 700, because without them, there wouldn't be 700. But that's not significant. I want to be significant. I want to be important. Each individual counts. But on the other hand, there's also a problem with that. Like, what the problem with every individual counting is, if everybody wants to count, if everybody wants to be important, society can't function that way. You need a leader, you need a Moshe, and you need everybody to follow them. This is something that we struggle with today. It used to be the opposite. It used to be like, you know, in the days of communism, Nachum writes about this, it was like, the people were replaceable. You know, one person, you lose one person, you just fill them in. And it's the masses, the communism.
Think of how many soldiers the U.S. are sent into World War II.
Right.
20 million.
Correct. Right, it was just that.
Just throw them in.
Right.
Same with the Chinese.
Japanese were like that. The Japanese exactly were like that. We'll beat you with numbers. Whereas this is the opposite of that. But it can't be, the individualism can't be so important because you need people to follow. You need people to do, because if everybody's an individual, you don't have an army. You know what I'm saying? So there's this struggle. I think that we all struggle with this. To what degree am I an individual, and to what degree am I a follower?
Also within an army, the same sort of thing. Like, you have to be...
Within an army...
Each soldier has to feel like they're doing something important, but at the same time...
What they say within, it's interesting within the army, right? They struggle with this. You can't really... You don't have individualism in the army. The officers have to be individuals. But the soldiers, yes, you're important, but you're important in doing what you're told to do. Don't they say that? The beginning of basic training is like, the whole thing of basic training is to like beat out of you your sense of individualism.
They say soldiers start a nation. They say that the Israeli army, that it's different in that culture, and that's what they credit Israel's success with.
That they give the individual soldier initiative.
The very young soldiers in the field are doing things and challenging their,
they get an
order from a supervisor who's not in the field. And they say, but we're here, and that's not going to work.
The private, or the junior officer, not the enlisted man. The problem is, you can't have a situation where he goes, one second, if you do that, I'm going to get killed. You know?
My nephew sat here for many a Shabbos he wasn't supposed to because he was in trouble for saying that to his
commanding officer. The challenge of the Israeli army, you're in the classroom. Right. Everyone has the right to know everything and do everything, and then they have to get them all into line, and it's not easy.
This is a struggle today. That's exactly the problem today.
It's exactly no one wants to follow, and it's a big...
Correct. No one wants to listen. It's because I know better than everyone else.
Everyone knows better than Israel.
There's an article in Times of Israel now, because they just elected there. They're going to have elections for the president. So the article is like, forget the Knesset. There's 8,700,000 candidates. You know, I could be president. You know, why not? You know, how hard is it?
Hard.
But on the negative side, there are not a lot of armies that will risk live soldiers to go in and bring out a dead body or to not leave. The American army will just leave you there. You know, dead bodies, no?
I don't know. I don't know, but you don't...
It's a good thing, but they use it against us.
Ironically, most rabbanim felt that to trade 1,000 prisoners for one soldier was too much. It was too much. That we are in essence, that this is exactly the problem. It's not that there's one soldier. We knew his name. We knew his parents. He became so individualized, so personalized that he became part of our family.
So that we would do anything to free him.
I don't blame them. They should do that. But on a national level, we all suffer. This is exactly that dichotomy. We all suffer. The country suffered because of that. Because of this individualism, the importance of every individual.
I'm not so much sure. No, because I think that if you want to encourage every soldier to really fight their hardest and be willing to go into these situations, they have to have the confidence that the country is behind them. They have the confidence that if God forbid something happens to them and they are taken live captive for 5 years. That every single person in that country is going to do whatever it takes to get them out, because otherwise there's no motivation, there's no you're
saying they risk
it. You see the opposite also, you don't want them to think about, you want them to
live. In order to have the faith in Syria, they have to know that they're sacred to us.
But as men, soldiers also have to know that
I don't know, but I don't you think? But there's a. But don't you think there's a price at which we say you're dear to us and we love you, but we can't pay that price? It's too dangerous for national security. But there is a level. There's a limit, isn't there? You're saying what you're saying is there's no limit. You're saying it's like, you can't make that. You can't make that cheshbon. Lo aleinu.
And you know that
that's
going
to
happen. Right.
Yeah, but that's different. That's different.
No. Just so you know, after Gilad Shalit, from what I heard, I'm not in the army at all, but from what I heard, they changed the rules of operation.
Yeah,
they fight differently. To the best of their ability, it's not going to be. They fight differently. Yes.
Contract that said, if I get taken into Chevy, I don't expect there to be a prison exchange for me.
Who said that?
A friend of mine who's in Sankhani, and he's now in
the right. I'm not saying whether they. I'm not saying whether they should or they shouldn't. This is not a shikul for us to decide. I'm pointing out that in a society which values every single individual, it can become overweighted to such a degree. And this is a dichotomy that we struggle with, because you need soldiers to follow. You need citizens to, you know what I'm saying, to work and pay taxes. You can't have every like. And now we live in a time where everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame. They want their, you know, their post on Facebook to be everyone else to see. It really is that, exactly that. And we don't need one person telling us what to think. I can tell everybody else what I think, and I can change the world. So yes, you can, but if everybody wants to change the world, then you don't have any, there's no functioning society. It's a fascinating dichotomy. To what degree is the individual important? Moshe Rabbeinu went the other way. Then, at that time, nobody was important. There was a leader, and everybody else followed. So Moshe Rabbeinu came around and started this, the idea of the census, as Ramban was to create this idea in the individual that each person is important, that each person has significance, that Moshe blessed each one of them as a unique person, and that's something different than with what they were used to. What's that?
As long as they were
men from the age of 26. But he wanted each family to count.
What might be what this issue is that when the time is, you make it equal at the time. I personally think that with the soldier exchange thing, when the time is right, you do it. And it becomes obvious when you go one way and when you go the other.
Right. Okay. The third reason Ramban says, I'm just skipping to the third paragraph, V'itachen shneem ha'od, another reason, ki haya zeh kederech shehamalchut osah b'ro'am l'milchama. This is a v'pshat, when they're going into war. Ki ata yu mizumanim dikanes la'aretz, they're ready to go into the war, v'lavo b'milchama imachei emori, asher be'ever ha'yarden, b'imshar kulam. So they're going into war with the emori and all the other nations. Okay? V'hayu moshe o'nisim svichim adat, b'spar chalutzei tzava ha'milchama. They have to know how many soldiers they had. Why? He says, this is fascinating. I'm 5 lines from the bottom. How many soldiers? Why? The Torah is not going to rely on the miracle that one should chase 1,000. Okay? Meaning, wait, one second. Didn't I just read to you, right? In the case of the bracha, v'radfu mikem chamisha me'a mikem revava yerdofu, 100 to chase 10,000. So he says, yes, that could happen. Yes, that will happen. But that's a nes. And we have a rule. Ein sobchim al nes. One second. Ein sobchim al nes. But didn't you just, you know what I'm saying? So where is the line? So Nechama points this out very beautifully. The Ramban himself, and I'll just read this from what she says. She said the Ramban himself, he's a big miracle guy. He's into the miracles.
But he also says, "I'm so Kamala."
Hold on a second. Let me just read the. I'm going to read the part. Okay. I'm just reading. This is from Dvarim. His papers on Dvarim 28. She says Ramban writes the following: none of us can have a portion in the law of Moses, our teacher, until we believe that in all matters and circumstances affecting us, we are surrounded by miracles. And that they are not just natural and ordinary phenomenon, whether concerning the public or the individual. All happens according to the degree on high. You get a punishment, you have something that happens to you, that's a pain in the neck, and you just have to deal with it. It's from the Ribono Shel Olam. The Torah, okay, orders matters to be conducted in the normal human fashion, leaving the miracles to be performed for the God-fearing in secret, since it is not the divine desire to change the nature of the world. Everything is b'derech nes, b'derech hateva. So one second, the same Ramban that says everything is b'derech nes, he also says, but you also have to count the soldiers. Because we don't rely on miracles.
He says that he does that with the teva also.
And some chimal nes, right.
He says the teva, there's no way that a teva that size could have contained all of the animals in the world. And he said it was a miracle. But so why did he
build the
teva at all? Because ain't some chimal nes.
Correct. So now, this brings us back to our original question. Your paycheck is sitting in front of you, sealed. Can you change it?
Should you daven? What would Ramban say?
You can, but don't assume it'll be changed.
I think the Rabban would say, of course you could daven. Because everything is...
Before you...
What?
Rabban
is saying, of course you could daven. Because everything that happens is ma'aseh nes. Everything that happens is me'al hateva. But then if you opened it and expected it to change, that's a nes nigla. Then you shouldn't expect that to happen. I mean, you function...
Oh, once you see
it, no, but that's exactly the point. To believe that I could daven, that the number could change, means to have the faith that
wait,
the number...
Wait, you have the number to change or for it to be bigger than what you expected? No, it's different. It's different.
Right, not to change, because you don't know
what it is. No, it's different.
To be more, to be greater.
Yeah, fine, but not to change.
Kodesh Baruch Hu, I need a little
not
extra.
To change.
I need a little extra this month. What? No, but it would make no sense for me to pray for something. It would make no sense, Laura, for me to pray for something if it's already done. It's not done. Why would I pray for something that Kadosh Baruch Hu, let this have been? It's not what I'm saying. I need this to be more. I'm having a tough month. I'm having more expenses.
It could be. It
kids
be
braces,
so
taxes, tuition, whatever, right? Just increase the... You understand? I need this to be more. Then it's... That shows that I believe that it's me'al hateva. Bederach hateva. But I still need the paycheck.
I don't know. I sent it for there.
I understand what you're saying. But this is the struggle. This is the struggle to see. Why do we count? We need an army. We fight like everybody else fights. But when we do fight like everybody else fights, no, we don't. Then we believe it, that there's Yad Hashem. Then we believe that we walk with God and that He's the one that causes us to be victorious. It's a very, that's again, the second dichotomy that I was thinking of this week. It's a very hard line to toe. It's very hard. Because our intuition is to say, like exactly what you're saying. No, there's rules in the world and this is the way things function.
No, but I still think the prayer is can work. But you're not asking for it to change. You're asking for something to have happened before you see it. And then there was more.
Why would I dive into the car?
Then you're after the fact.
No, you're not praying for the future. Then you're praying for the past. You wouldn't pray for the past.
No, you're not praying for the past.
Sure you are.
Has happened.
Yes, you're praying for the past.
You don't know.
What's the difference? Surprise! But it is what it is.
It says, I mean, we're very clear right on the fact that you can dive for the gender of a baby up to the 48th day.
Correct.
After conception,
right? Yes.
That would be very different from what modern science
would. Right, but this is even more. The example we gave in the beginning is, the grain is in front of you. It is what it is. But it could be more.
When you actually measure it.
It could be more when you measure it. It could be more than you think that it is. And something. And I present it because... And I think that the yesod is, and this is a Jewish idea, the yesod is in general, whenever possible, don't count. Because that's when bracha really happens. When we stop counting, we stop asking, how much did I get and I need more? That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're not so worried and you live a little bit more on the Emunah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Okay, here you go. All right, we'll stop here.
So should we do the national?